God is good. I don't know what to do after that. Amen. I'm gonna drink some water. Presence is heavy. It's heavy. Heavy. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, boy. Well, I had a message for tonight called "Oh, the Possibilities." Oh, the possibilities. Woo. All right. I didn't even. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You want the long version or the short version? The God version? Yeah, that's a good one. Well, I'll tell you what. The possibilities. Oh, the possibilities. Oh, the possibilities. God is good. Yeah. Gosh, all right. Well, better catch this. Ooh, God is good. Oh, the possibilities. I'm gonna read Mark. I'm gonna read some scripture here. Mark chapter 9. If you got your Bibles, you can follow along. Mark chapter 9. I'm going to read some scripture here about, I'm starting in 14. It says, when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them. And some teachers of religious law were arguing with them, and when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. And what is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. He said, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground, and then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not." Jesus said, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And verse 20 says, so they brought the boy, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell into the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. And verse 21 says, "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since the boy was little. The spirit often throws him into fire and water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help him if you can." Jesus says, "What do you mean if I can?" Yeah, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." Oh, the possibility. Oh, the possibilities. What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my job. I don't know if you all know my job. I mean, you might know that I work at the high school, but I don't know if you know my job. Like, some people would say, oh, he's a teacher. I'm not really a teacher. I deal a lot with athletes and their injuries, and that's my primary job. And then in that, I teach students about that stuff. And so my job is to implement programs that help to decrease the risk of injury in athletes, right? And then if something happens, then I'm trained in my education, my, you could say, degrees and certifications and all these other things and licensures and whatnot, okay, is to deal with how to diagnose, how to evaluate, diagnose, treat, rehabilitate any of these illnesses and injuries that happen to athletes or people who get hurt during recreational activities. So with that being said, as of late, we're getting ready to implement a summer program to where these athletes get ready for their sports next year. And the program is designed to increase strength, power, agility, quickness, speed, things like that. Athleticism is the basis, is the core of it, to increase the athletes, increase the students to be better athletes all around. And that will help decrease the risk of injury. That's the goal. So it's freely given to the athletes. They don't have to pay for it. Okay, they don't have to pay for those services. So it's freely there. And so if I'm an athlete, or if you're an athlete who doesn't go to this training program, you know, then what are the possibilities? So the possibilities are you increase your chance of injury, number one, right? Number two is that you're not strong enough to compete, right? So the ultimate problem is that you're not going to be able to compete against people who are better. That's, right, athleticism. So, but if I'm an athlete who does go, you know, what happens? What are the possibilities? Well, the possibility is you get stronger, faster, bigger, more agile, more quick, more athletic. Oh, the possibilities. Possibilities could be endless. And in our culture today, in the worldly culture today, there's an emphasis put on athleticism. That's just how it is. And that's an avenue. You know, that's an avenue for evangelism. That's an avenue for furthering the gospel. And so those people who trained that way have an avenue then to use that as spreading the gospel. But I'm not talking about the gospel right now. But I understand I'm coming from an athletic standpoint, whereas if I'm an athlete and I want to become better, then I need to implement a program. You follow me? And the thing is this, if I want to get better as an athlete, if I'm a freshman or an eighth grader in high school or in school and I want to become better as an athlete, then shouldn't I seek out some type of program for that? Yes? That would be a good decision because the possibilities of something happening beyond school increases. If I push myself now, the possibility for good things to come in the end is better. Yes? Okay. So, but what if I'm this kind of an athlete? If I go, but I don't really do all that I am able to do, I just kind of go through the motions. I'm there. Am I getting any better? Not as much as I could. Not as much as is possible. You following me? Yeah, you following me? You're on the same path as me here. Amen? Okay. So, for the athletes who do not go, they don't get to partake in the possibilities. You see, for those athletes who do not do the training, do not get to partake in the possibilities that the training has. You following me? Well, keep following me. They don't get to partake in the possibilities, the benefits, and the outcomes that the program would make them better in. And they then might wonder, if that's that athlete, then you might wonder, hey, why are other people better than me? Why is this other person playing in my position? Why is this other person getting all state or getting all conference or getting all these things? And this is the world that I'm in my career, so this is where I'm coming from. So that athlete who doesn't do anything over here sees something over here that he wants, but he doesn't understand why this person is here, even though they had the chance to have that same thing. Does that make sense? You following me? Okay. You see that in sports, there's preparing. There's then the struggle that the preparing prepares you for. In all athletics, is the same thing. Okay? In athletics, they call it training. They call it preseason and in-season and things like that, right? But in life, it's the preparation and then the struggle, right? We see it, in, if you look through the word, there's preparation and then there's the struggle. And that hopefully the preparation helps you get through the struggle. Makes you better in the end. If sometimes you don't go through that struggle, you're not any better at the end. Or you don't get through it. The same with athletes. If they don't go through the preparation, then the struggle is that much harder. You see what I'm saying? The practice, the games, the events, the participation, the competition is that much harder if they're not prepared properly. And being not prepared properly increases the risk of injury. Which increasing the risk of injury means that it increased the chance of having to sit out, be on the sides. I can't do it. Whereas the athlete who does participate gets the full benefit of the program. Okay? They get the full benefit. They are made bigger, faster, stronger, quicker, more athletic, which is better for their competition. The question has to be asked then this. Who is creating these possibilities? Who is creating the promises for these athletes to go through these things and have these possibilities occur? Now, I'm going to get somewhere here real quick. If there are professionals in athletics that provide a promise to increase athleticism, the athletes then have a choice to believe that promise or to not believe that promise. For those who believe it, they do it, they enjoy the outcomes. For those that do not believe it, do not. Okay? These athletes, then, I think, are very similar to people when it comes to God and His promises. I'm relating athletics and professionals who do the training for athletes to God who does the training for us. God provides the promises and God provides the program. God provides the benefits, or God provides the promises and God provides the system. But we have to buy in, and that buy in is called belief. Yeah? Okay? And when I read Mark 9, chapter 23, anything is possible if a person believes. You see, God made promises for us, and those promises are possible if we believe. You see, in athletics, you know, you got to believe and do the things that a coach or that the person wants you to do, and you benefit from the outcomes. But you got to believe that you're in it to be in it. You see, in our life, God provides the same kind of thing. The promises, the program, the outcomes. Our part is to believe it or not believe it. If we believe it, we benefit from the promises. We receive the promises. Now, like athletes, it takes time. Just like God's promises, there's a time for each one. A time and a season for each one. Just like athletes, a time and a season for muscle growth, agility increase, quickness increase, increase in power. There's a time. And just like God, there's a season, there's a time for your growth and for your promise to come through. Right? Yes? See now, scripture Mark 9:23, in other versions it says all things are possible. It says all things are possible. Okay, all things. And so, what are these all things? This is something I've been thinking about because I've been talking to athletes, and I'm in charge of implementing this summer program and some of these training programs for athletes. And I've been trying to rack my brain on what do I want? What do I want these things to? What are all these things that I want for the athletes to happen? Right. And so, all good things or all things that I want should be all good things for athletes, right? And so, God, when He was putting together the world and creation, He was looking, what do I want to give these people? All good things, right? Amen? All good things. He gave it. He gave all good things. This topic or whatever I'm talking about is going to have multiple finishes, a part two, part three, probably, part seven, who knows. But in this story, a father was questioning the ability of Jesus to cast out these demons, right? He was questioning the ability, right? He was questioning the possibility because he saw somebody over here not be able to do those possibilities. Similar to athletes who maybe see over here that, oh, this person went through, and he didn't do anything. Well, it could have been that person that didn't put their whole heart into it, who didn't fully believe in the system. I'm going to leave that there. Matthew 19, verse 26, Mark 10, 27, Mark 14, 36, Luke 1, 37, all say, with God, all things are possible in one way or another. Okay? All those scriptures all deal with God provides all things. And all things are possible to those who believe. Okay? Now, my thinking then is, what are those things that He says I can have? What are the possibilities? And oh, the possibilities. You search the scriptures, oh man, the possibilities. With God, all things are possible. What things? All things are possible with God. God, that means God. What He's saying here is God can do all things. Let's leave that there. God can do all things. God can do all things. I'm going to pose the question, does He do all things that you want Him to do? I'm going to leave that there. But can God do all things? Yes. God has no limitations. So I'm going to walk you through this real quick. With God, what is possible? This is our thinking. We know that all things are possible with God, yes? Okay, so in our thinking, with God, what's possible? All things, what things? Things that we can believe for. Right? All things are to those who believe. So what things can we believe for? All those things that we can believe for. Right? Now, what can we believe for? And when I was first thinking about this, my mind just kept going in circles. God can do all things. What are all things? All things that I can believe for. What can I believe for? I can believe for all things. I just kept going in circles, right? But what does the Word say? The Word says this. What can we believe for? We can believe for whatever God says. What does God say? He says His promises. So what can we believe for? That means we have to believe for His promises. His promises. So all things, all His promises are available to those who believe in those promises. You see where I'm going? The strength, the training, the speed and agility are available to all those people who believe in that speed, agility, quickness training program. God provides a program, gives you all things. What all things? Things He promises. But all those promises are available to those who believe all those promises. You following me? Yeah? Amen. God is good. He gave it freely, but He said, hey, all things are possible, but you got to believe. Got to believe what? Got to believe everything I said. Everything I said is in the promises. What's the promises? Read the Word. What are His promises? Now, this is good. All things, I want to read Matthew 21:22. How much time do I got, Pastor Calvin? A few more minutes? I'm trying to cut it short, but I want to get my point across. Okay? Can you bear with me a little bit? God reveals something cool. Matthew 21:22. Says this, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Now, check this out. Check this out. All right. All things, we can pray for all things. In some versions, that's what it says there. It says, you can pray for all things. Okay? So anything, all things, it can be interchanged here, what we're talking about. Okay? But what are those all things? Those things that we have to believe, and those things we believe have to be from God, and that's God's word, God's promises, God's will, yes? So, you can pray for anything that God said you can pray for. You know, God's not some magical being that's, here you go. God, I want a new car. Well, there might be a stipulation to that. I'm going to get to that. Those things who believe. Now, before we go any further, the all things is limited to only those items that we can believe for. Those things that we can believe for. Right? Jesus is saying, if you can believe it, then it is possible. So the limitation here is our believing. Okay? There is no limitation with God. The limitation that we receive is the limitation that came from the fall of man, right? The limitation on us because Adam and Eve didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now can no longer exist if we have faith in God. Okay? I'm gonna go on to this. So faith in God, so faith in the God of no limitations takes away the limitations of men. So what we think we're limited on having is wrong if we believe that there's a God with no limitations. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying is that faith in God takes away our limitations. Faith in God takes away our limits. Faith in God takes away our problems. Faith in God takes away what we limit ourselves to. And I'm not trying to say that what we do is elevate ourselves to God. What I'm saying is that we magnify God. I'm saying that if we can have faith in a God with no limitations, then we elevate the blessings upon us. We elevate the possibilities that the promises will come true in our life. We increase the possibility that all of God's promises that were there for us to take by faith, by believing, we know that they are now ours. Amen? In scouring through the Word, and I'm going to end here talking about this, but I got more that I can preach on with this. Okay, but I'm picking and choosing here. But the promises of God are those things that we can believe for. Okay, so what can we believe for? We can believe for the promises. So what are the promises? Well, there's two types of promises. There's an unconditional promise, and there are conditional promises in the Word. There are unconditional promises that God just says, I promise I ain't going to do this anymore. But then there's conditional promises where there's that if. If this, then. If you do this, then. Right, so here's some of this. Here's our unconditional promises. God has unconditionally promised no more floods to destroy the earth. Right, man? He has promised there will be no more floods to destroy the earth. Okay, now, he didn't say no more floods. No more floods to destroy the earth. Okay? He has promised then, unconditionally promised not to curse the ground anymore for man's sake. That's Genesis chapter 8, 20 through 22. He has unconditionally appointed physical death for all men except those living at the second coming. He promised that if you're living, you'll not die. You'll just be taken up. God has unconditionally promised that Jesus Christ will come again in a personal coming again. He promised that. We don't have to do anything for that promise to come true. It's going to come true. He has unconditionally promised the resurrection of all dead. That's a promise that we can stand on. He has unconditionally promised that there will be a day for final judgment. That's a promise. He has unconditionally promised that in some time there will be a destruction of our physical universe and everything in it by fire. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, all these unconditional promises, I looked it up, I have scripture for them. It's unconditional. God has promised those things. They will happen no matter what you do or no matter what we do. That's it. That's all the unconditional promises I could find. If you can find more, please tell me. That's all the unconditional promises. Now, the conditional promises, there's a slew of them. Promises that will come true if we. I'm just going to do some. In Matthew 5:4, it says, the promise is some will be comforted. The condition is those that mourn will be comforted. Matthew 5, you will inherit the earth is the promise. But the promise is to you who are gentle, humble, or meek. Matthew 5:10, the promise is the kingdom of heaven will be yours. There's a condition. If you have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Matthew 5:11, Matthew 7:7, we all know that one, right? The promise is that it will be given to you if you ask. The promise is you will find. The condition is if you seek. The promise is it will be open to you if you knock. Mark chapter 9:41 says, the promise is a person will not lose their reward. The condition is by giving a cup of water in Christ's name. We all know John 3:16. The promise is that you will have eternal life, but the condition is to whosoever will believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. And then the promise is you will have eternal life. It all goes through all the way from Matthew to Revelation. There's promise after promise after promise, but it's conditional. Romans 8:31, the promise is that no one can be against you. The condition is that when God is for you. Let's see, there's a good one here I picked up earlier. James 1, chapter 5, the promise is, if you ask of God in faith, the condition is wisdom will be given. Wisdom will be given if you ask God in faith. James 1:12, the promise, we will receive the crown of life, but the condition is if we endure trials by temptation and love the Lord. On and on and on. Promises, but they're conditional. What does that mean? That means in a relationship, there's a give and take by both parties. God has given it all already. He gives everything. And we know by his promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will always be with us, that he will always be around. He will always be there. He's already here. He will be there. I will be there. I will be here. I will be everywhere that you are. Some of these promises that he promises are conditional that we are there where he is. That we look to him. That we make our vow to him, that we will do the same that he does for us, we'll do for him. And I'm gonna end there, but I want us to understand that all the possibilities when we go to God, when we believe his promises, when we believe the possibilities, when we believe for what God has promised, when we believe for what God has willed, when we believe for what God has put in place, oh, the possibilities. Let us not forget those things. Let us not forget those possibilities. Let us not forget that if we are for God, who can be against us? Then God is for you. If you are for God, God is for you. Let us not forget that. If you are for God, then God will be for you. And oh, the possibilities. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for this night. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. We thank you, Father God, that it is fine-tuned, it is dug into, it is buried in our hearts and our minds, that it will not go away, that we know your word and we can stand on your word and stand on your promises and believe for what you have given to us. Thank you, Jesus, for this week. I bless all these people that are here. Father, if you are for them, who can be against them? In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a great, wonderful rest of the week. We'll see y'all on Sunday. Amen. All day. If you need directions to Pastor's house, make sure you be here on Sunday. Invite somebody. Get some of those papers back there and invite somebody. Praise God.
To the believers.